We are joined right now, as promised, by the president of basketball operations and the GM of the Golden State Warriors. He is a two-time NBA Executive of the Year. He has led Golden State to three NBA championships, five straight conference titles. What a great run that was. Helped build a team that produced the best six-year run, in fact, in the history of the NBA record-wise. He is an inductee into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. He is, as you know, a San Quentin basketball legend. He is Bob Myers. Bob, it has been a minute or two since we have spoken. Bob, how are you doing? How's life?
Oh, man. We haven't talked in a little while. How are you doing? I'm fine. I'm just, you know, this is a different deal, Jim. This whole deal. Life, work, maybe, I don't know. I guess everybody's got a different degree of difficulty. I'm not comparing to the people that are actually have struggled with this physically or working on the front lines of it. I don't know what that's like. I imagine that's got to be extremely difficult. But in sports, if we're talking about sports, it just adds a huge layer to what already is probably all-encompassing job. And so, you know, we all do our best with it, but there's no blueprint for this. There's no handbook, and you just try to move through it the best way you can.
I think that's well said. There is no playbook for something like this, and you're right, Bob. It is a very different deal, a very different deal for everybody. You know, I'm going to jump into it and ask you some basketball questions. Like, it's been so much of a roller coaster, Bob, going back to the 2019 finals, injuries to Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, then the departure of Kevin Durant, the challenges of last season, and then on the day of this year's draft, of course, comes word that Klay Thompson had suffered the injury in Southern California. What was your reaction when you first heard that news?
I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, that was just the timing, the actual what happened. I don't even know, Jim. I mean, I'm still reeling with that one because the draft, for people that are listening, it can take over your whole month. It takes over your mind. It takes over your energy. Because you just want to try to get it right. And we had the number two pick, and we had some second-round picks, and there's all these thoughts whirling in your head and all these variables that you're trying to deal with. But on top of that, you don't really expect to be dealing with one of your best players getting hurt on that day, on that afternoon, 3 hours preceding the draft. And so, you know, as people, we probably can deal with more than we think we can. But it doesn't mean you should have to. And so with this news, there was a surrealness to it. And it was kind of like, there's not great words, but the best ones I can convey are, you have these thoughts like, are you effing kidding me? I mean,
right?
Are you kidding me? And there's so many layers to how you process it. There's first the empathy for Klay, right? That's the first thing you do. And you go, this guy loves the game, is well-respected, obviously hugely important to our organization. I know him personally. So just kind of trying to go to where his mind is. And then organizationally going, what does this mean? And you got about 2 hours. Does this mean something we should do differently? Does this mean we should revisit everything? Luckily, I was with our owner, Joe Lacob, and Kerr was right next to me. And I got the first call and walked out of the room. And Joe saw the look on my face, and he said, what, because the guy, Klay's agent texted me and said, ASAP, call me. And I was in the middle of talking to my owner who was sitting to my left, and I said, I gotta take this. And he looked at me, and it was one of those calls where, you know, you're a human being. We've all had these calls where, like, something's bad. This is not good. And so he looked at me, and I said something. I go, this is not, I don't know what it is, but, and then I came back, and I gave him the things you don't want to hear in sports are ACL and Achilles. You don't want to hear those words. And I walked back in the room. I said, I think it might be Achilles. I got to go. And then I called Kerr and him. We went into my office and, you know, we didn't know, but I think we kind of knew. It was a classic. When Kobe got hurt with his Achilles, I always remember when you hurt your Achilles, I was at that game, the Laker game, we hurt his, and Harrison Barnes was guarding him. And I said, Harrison, what did he say? And he goes, he grabbed me right after he tore his Achilles and said, did you kick me in the back of the leg? And this is how smart Kobe is. Like, this is how fast thinking he is or was, unfortunately. He knew right away, if Harrison didn't kick me in the back of the leg, I just tore my Achilles. So when a player tears their Achilles, if you're around the game, it feels like, and the people that are listening, maybe you have, it feels like he kicked in the back of the shin. Like, and nobody obviously did. That's what it feels like, though. because that's your Achilles tearing. And so when we talked to Clay, Clay says, it felt like I got kicked in the back of the leg. And that's kind of like, that's the one thing you don't want to hear. And so we were in the office and we kind of knew, we did the MRI the next day, but when you hear that, you kind of know. And then we called staff and, you know, everybody asked, what did you say to staff? I said, what are you going to say? You think Clay tore his Achilles? And he just, what do you say after that? There's nothing to say. I mean, so he was speechless. I didn't have any words of comfort. I mean, I mean, everybody's kind of processing it individually. And I don't know, Jim, look, I don't want to compare it. Again, this is sports. He'll be okay. I'll be okay. We'll be okay. But for us, professionally, this one hurt. But if you want me to qualify it and say compared to what most people are dealing with, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world. But in sports, those are the ones you don't want to hear and you don't want to deal with. The health stuff is always the hardest to navigate.
Bob Myers, my guest. Bob, this is why I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate that response very, very much. And you're right. I would imagine the response was, are you effing kidding me? After everything he'd already been through and gotten that close to coming back and was right there on the precipice. I mean, there's just some things that are inexplicable, to be certain. Bob Myers is my guest. Bob, you mentioned your owner, Joe Lacob. And the thing is, his response was really interesting because you immediately go out there and you trade for Kelly Oubre Jr., which is significant for a number of reasons. And I bring that up because not only what he brings to the team, but that it's a massive statement in the sense that there's a massive hike in the payroll tax. A lot of owners might refuse to do that. What's that say about Joe that he's willing to do that after the injury to Clay and after already winning three championships?
Yeah, Jim, that's a really good question. And what I'm about to say for the people listening, I'm not giving you the company line here. That's all I can preface this with. I did say, like, hey, man, it's going to be tough now without Clay. You know, it's just take any team in the NBA, it's a different sport. You take away one of your top two players, top three, you know, it makes it very, very hard to win a championship. Any team. You can name any team in the league, and I'll tell you, if they lost, you know, one of the top two, three guys, like you're just being realistic. It sucks to say, but it's just life. So he easily could have said, you know what, I'm not spending an extra tens of millions of dollars here. And I couldn't have blamed him for that. But I said this when we introduced Wiseman and Nico Mannion, our draft picks. This guy wants to win more than I could even really comprehend sometimes. Because I'll tell you what, most GMs would want that okay from their owner and just rush into it. And then I even asked, I said, are you sure? And this guy, any GM in any sport, and there's, you know, if you look at the four major sports in the U.S., there's 120 of us roughly. I'll tell you what I've been blessed with. My owner wants to win. And when we have fans, we do fine, profitable. When we don't, we lose money. And a lot of people are losing money right now. Again, to qualify, we're a professional sports team. But this would be a very fair time, or would have been, for our owner to say, yeah, you know what, let's not pour more money into this. And he never, not for one second, Jim, did he say, I don't even think he had that thought. I did. You know, you might have, if you owned our team, and I said, Jim, you'd say, you know what, Bob, I want to be competitive, but maybe this isn't the time. I mean, this guy, he went all in. And I'm lucky, and our fans, for that matter. If anybody listens to Warriors fan, like, this is the type of owner. I'll tell you what, people are listening, I'm going to guess, are probably sports fans, and you probably have some favorite team. This is the kind of owner you want. I promise you, Jim, you've been doing this longer than I have. No fans care about how much money their team is making or losing. And by the way, they shouldn't. What do they care? So, in essence, that means you want to have an owner, or you want to. One thing I learned about sports is the people that are fans out there of any team, you better hope you have good ownership, because if you don't have good ownership, it's going to make it hard for your team to win consistently. So I'm lucky to have a guy like Joe and Peter Guber and the whole ownership group to support what we do.
Not only, Bob, do I accept what you just said, I would take this one step further. I would say, pandemic aside, I would even argue that not every owner of every professional franchise wants to win or wants to win that badly, because oftentimes winning is very expensive and they're more than happy doing just what they have to do to keep the fans coming and do business and make a profit and then affect the bottom line. I don't even think that every owner, as crazy as that sound, actually wants to win or pay the price that it costs.
And I think, you know, look, let's say you, Jim, you're a multi-billionaire or any fan. And a lot of these guys, you're right. I mean, here's what happens. You make 10, 15, whatever billion dollars, and you go, what am I going to do now in life? You know what? What's the most hardest thing to do is buy a professional sports team. Like, that's a club. There's a lot of billionaires, and I'm not diminishing what it takes to be a billionaire. I have no idea. I'm not a billionaire. I never will be. But there's a lot of them out there in our country, or in the world, for that matter. But a lot of these guys or women, anybody, what they want to be is in this exclusive. I want to own a professional team. Now that there's only 120 of those in the country, and then it becomes your right. So sometimes it's not, I'm going to pour my heart and soul into this endeavor of winning. It's just, you know what, this is a good investment. Might as well. But I'm not telling fans, you can be a fan wherever you want to be. But the ownership piece, I don't want to make this about a business, but if you look at teams that are highly successful, that they consistently win, it's a lot to do with ownership, because it starts with ownership. I got hired because of our owner. Our owner hires, they make these decisions. They hire a GM, they fire a GM, they hire a coach, they fire a coach, especially now, Jim. Used to be a team could be bought for $25 million however many years ago. These teams now, billions of dollars. Do you think owners are just going to say, I spent $3 billion or $2 billion or $1 billion on this team. I'm just going to let some guy run it. Just like if you bought a team, you'd be like, I spent whatever, $2 billion to buy the Chargers. And you're like, I want to know who we're drafting it at the fifth pick in the draft. That's what's fun about owning a team. So that's why I'm really lucky. My guy loves it. He was the season ticket holder before he bought the team. He watches games. He texted me last night watching the Kansas-Kentucky game. I mean, this guy loves it. And so I'm lucky. Some people would say that's too intrusive. I love it. My owner's all in on and all in on the game and the sport and wants to win.
Bob Myers joining us. You know, Bob, it's a really, really bad analogy, but one of the reasons that we got into horse racing, and I never thought that I would. I mean, I love the animals. I absolutely love the animals, but it's what you're talking about. Like, I want to be a part of the process. Like, I would never, ever tell the trainer what to do because that's their business and I don't know, but I just like the process. I like being a part of it. You know, where are we going to run? When are we going to run? What are our chances? Who are we running against? It's like on a much, much smaller level. We feel like not that we own a franchise, but we're a part of the process. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I could ask you any number of things. It's always an amazing conversation, Bob, and I appreciate it. I want to ask you about Andrew Bogut before you go, because he announced his retirement yesterday. And this guy, man, he is a one-of-a-kind character. He was one of the first moves that was made when you were an assistant GM. What do you remember about that? And then what did he mean to the organization?
Yeah, Bogut's he meant a heck of a lot. It was one of the biggest things we did initially to kind of help pivot the team. And we got your former number one pick, well-established, and a defensive player. But Andrew, personally, he's one of the most highly intelligent people you're going to meet. Andrew is funny, and I say this in a kind way. With Andrew, you're guilty until proven innocent. Andrew doesn't suffer fools. So he will call you out directly. He wants the truth, good, bad, or ugly. He saw through a lot of the NBA that wasn't real. I mean, there's a lot of it, just like an entertainment gym, and there's a lot of it that's stuff that's fluff. And he wanted the authentic side of sports. He loved playing, loved the competition, but he could leave a lot of the other stuff behind. Very kind of cutting sense of humor. But for us, Jim, he helped us win a championship, and we hadn't won one in 40 years. So, I mean, that's why I texted him the other day. I said, anything you need. Congratulations on a great career. You'll always have a home with us and anything. I hope he comes and visits. I don't know if he's going to stay in Australia or come back to the Bay or what he'll do, but fascinating guy. Love the fact that he's got an international perspective. Love talking about Australian, their culture. He's got a great – all the international people, I'm sure you know some. I love hearing about views of our country from people that live outside our country. I think it's fascinating. So many things about Andrew – on the court I'll miss, but his personality and his character are highly unique, and he helped, like I said, professionally, he was awesome for us. I mean, he gave us something we never had in the center position and helped us win a championship.
He is the president of basketball ops and the GM of the Golden State Warriors and has led them to 3 NBA championships, 5 straight conference titles. He is a San Quentin basketball legend, a very, very good friend of the program. Bob, I appreciate your thoughts. It had been a minute or two. It's so good to get caught up. I know it's been a really challenging time and a really difficult time, but it's always great to talk to you, Bob. Thanks so much for that.
Thanks, Jim. One day we'll get – not the time to go back into San Quentin and play hoops right now, but hopefully – I look forward to getting back in there when we can.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that too, Bob. Thanks so much. I was communicating with Ray Ritter last night, and I said, man, I will never, ever, ever not take you up on an opportunity ever again, man. What a year it's been. All right, Bob, thank you so much.
All right.
And thanks to the legend that is Raymond Ritter. Raymond Ritter is just quite simply not only one of the all-time great executives in the history of professional sports, but he has redefined the publicity position. I mean, Ray is so much more than that. Ray is an icon and a legend, but Ray and Bob both are constantly saying, when are you coming to San Quentin? Because Bob has had those legendary runs with some of his players at San Quentin, and I've never taken him up on that opportunity.